Hi, this is Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. You're about to hear a message from the series, Live to Give. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. The very best life is found in giving. As we give, we join God in His eternal purpose to bless the world. When we live a lifestyle of giving, we in fact sow the seeds of the kingdom of God. We sow God's influence into others' lives through our giving. We're going to explore the many ways and meanings of giving. We'll not only look at giving money and possessions, but we'll look at giving honor and worth to God, giving thanks, giving gifts, and giving grace. May we all experience the blessing of a generous life. This was great, Carl. Thank you, guys. That was an incredible worship. Yes. Woo. Way to go, man.
Really?
Did you think that was outstanding? Yeah. Outstanding worship, as usual. Yeah.
So, okay. All right, check this out. So, because we played some nice tunage and we got to sing some songs, we worshiped?
Yeah, didn't we worship? Yeah.
Okay. I got something to say about that.
Can well, I come join on you? Up then.
All right.
Carl, what do you got to say?
Well, okay. I came prepared, y'all.
Ooh.
And it's got big font, so I don't need my glasses. You know, one of the things I love about what we do here is that we do pay a lot of attention to the worship of our Father. And but I've had many conversations with people, and some of these conversations kind of go like, wow, you know, Carl, the worship was great. And thank you for playing my favorite hymn. Or you didn't play enough of those hymns for me. So the worship really wasn't all that good for me. You know, you hear me talk about this all the time, right? All the time. Okay, nobody's shaking their head, so I must not talk about it enough. But I want to talk about worship events. You know, because when we come to church, you know, there are many different ways that we can experience worship. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with the music all the time. Sometimes it's about, you know, the wonderful teaching that comes from any one of our pastors. You guys could connect through communion and an offering, because we consider that worship too. But there are worship events. We might not consider them worship events, but they are. Here's one. Next Friday, they have an event called Black Friday. All right. Y'all already know I got some issues with Black Friday. One, it really should be called White Friday, because black folks aren't getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning for some deals. But here's the thing. I've seen them televise this. You know how the news teams go to these different places just to see all the people in line camping out. And then when they open the doors, people like trample over each other to like get in to get the great deals. Wow. Would you consider that like worship of stuff, maybe? Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, the last time I talked about worship, I always bring up sports events, you know, and how most of us here are Wildcat fans. And we
go
love
Cats.
It.
Rose Bowl, here we come.
See, check that out. Go Jesus. That's how it's supposed to be right there. But see, that's Jeff. Say that again. I love this. Interactive preaching. Go for it. What? Yes, Jesus is Lord. So you got sports events, and we have what we do here. You know, we come in and we want to give of our heart and give God the very best that we have and give Him all honor, glory, and praise. Amen.
Amen. So describe for us, what is worship? You know, Give it your best shot. Tell us what it is. Because we're in a series called Live to Give. And what we want to do is we want to give. We talked about giving our lives. We're talking now about giving worship. So what are we giving when we talk about giving worship?
Well, I've said this in the past. I think that worship is our response to God's revelation of who he is and what he has done. You know, when you recognize that. And you know what? I want us to turn. Let's open up your Bibles. John 4, 19:24, page 753, just like the slide says. Now, this is a pretty famous story. I'm sure y'all have come across it here in Scripture, the lady at the well, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And, you know, what I love about this story is all the stuff that's not said. And the vibe. I tend to look between the lines on some things and just trying to kind of get a feel for what's going on. And I think it's interesting that when she was talking with Jesus, when she realized that he was somebody special, isn't it interesting how she turned the conversation to worship? And I want to read just the first part of it. John 4, 19 through 20. It says, Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. You know, Jesus used this encounter as a means to explain what God requires from us as we worship. And I like how the woman knew enough about worship to ask Jesus about the location. But he responded, I think it really surprised her, because he responded with a message about the right relationship. Y'all follow me? Yeah? And the relationship between God and the worshiper. And Jesus made it really clear that the condition of a worshiper's heart is always more important than the place that you worship. And I want to read the next part of this. It says, John 4, 21, 23, 24. Jesus declared, Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. You know, those words should really ring loud to all of us here. You know, he made it clear that no place can contain worship. It's not about the place. Again, it's about the condition, and it's about your heart. You like that move? It's about your heart. And you know, I love this. You know, we can offer the Father the worship he desires as long as it flows from the right place, as long as it's coming from our heart. And I like to say this, true worship is expressed through spirit and truth, our spirit surrendered to God's truth.
Cool. You know, I think of another passage, another story. It's also in a chapter 4. It's actually in Revelation chapter 4. And it describes for me this incredible experience of worship, which is not only describing something that's real, but something that guides us in terms of how we give worship. Revelation chapter 4, before I read it, let me give you the context of this. The Apostle John, he's an old man, and he gets a vision. He gets a vision of what it's like to be in the very throne room of God, to be right at God's feet. Now, that's part of the context. There's more to that context. It's this. John, this old man, is in prison when he has this vision. He's in prison because of his faith. He's in jail because he's made Jesus Lord, Adonai, which we just sang. Not only that, his buddies, the other 11 apostles, have been martyred. They're gone. They've been killed for their faith. The church is facing persecution from the Romans and from the synagogue, and the church is in turmoil. The world's in turmoil. And in the midst of this, John gets a vision of what it's like to be at God's feet. And so let's turn there to Revelation chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 8. It's page 869. And it begins with this. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now, these creatures that mentioned, they're angels. And there's incredible description even in the verses before them. These angels are angelic beings that stand guard at the throne of God. They've got six wings, which describes in that day, think of this, 2,000 years ago, these angels were fast. They could get anywhere. You don't want to mess with these angels. Okay? They got eyes all over them. They can see everywhere. You're not going to sneak up on them. And they're guarding the throne of God. But they're not only just guarding, they can't help but worship. And what they say as they're around this throne is they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Now, they didn't just say, "Holy is the Lord." They didn't just say, "Holy, holy is the Lord," like he's really holy. They said, "Holy, holy, holy," three times, meaning there is no one who's superior when it comes to his holiness. He is super holy. He is uber holy. He is whatever word you want to put. He can't even be described. He's so holy. Now, that's part of what the three refers to, beyond human comprehension. But even more than that, we know God as three persons. The Holy Father, the Holy Son, and the Holy Spirit, who was and is to come. They've got, they and then I don't know if you notice that little phrase, day and night, they never stop saying it. They can't stop worshiping because they are in the very presence of God. Holy, holy, holy. They're just saying it over and over and over again. And then in verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. And I'm going to break the sentence right here. Notice what they do. What they do describes exactly what worship is all about. Mm-hmm. They give God, did you notice it? Glory. They give God honor. And they give God thanks. Isn't that a great description of worship? That if you and I were transported like John was into this vision of being in the very presence of God, we would want to give God glory because it belongs to him. We'd want to give him honor. He deserves it. And we'd want to say thank you for all that he's done for us. Now, it continues in verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, I'm going to break the sentence again. Now, in the book of Revelation, almost all the numbers that are used, no matter what the numbers are, have a powerful symbolic meaning. All through the book of Revelation, we encounter the number 7. Anytime you encounter the number 7 when you read the book of Revelation, that's about God. That's God's number. Whenever you come across 1,000, it either means a whole lot of people or a long time. 1,000 is a symbol for long, big. 3.5. When you encounter the number 3.5 in Revelation, guess what that is? If 7 is the number of God, what's half of 7? 3.5, it's the number of evil. Now we come to 24 elders. What's that? Well, one of the things that we learn is that anytime there's a reference to God's people, it's around the number 12. Okay? Now, here we have 24. So what's that? 12 plus 12. Mm-hmm. Two groups of 12 equals 24. These are God's people. The first group of 12 represents the tribes of Israel. There were how many tribes? 12. God's people in the Old Testament, the 12 tribes. There were 12 apostles who founded the church. They represent the people of the new covenant, you and I. And all of God's people, Old Testament folks, New Testament folks, all of them are around the throne, God's people. Now, did you notice, Carl, what God's people are doing around the throne?
They're falling down. Simply falling down. They are casting their crowns. They're getting rid of them because they know they can't stand before something as holy and as awesome as the Father. Complete and total submission is what we're seeing here in this text. I love this. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. You created all things. By your will they were created and have their being." You know, this is the instruction manual, y'all. Complete and total submission.
Yeah. You notice they say that God's people, the 24 elders, representing you and I and all that will stand before God, they say, "You are worthy." Period. You are worthy. Now, I don't know if you caught this little detail. Remember the angelic beings? What did they say to God? They said they gave God glory, honor, and thanks. Remember that? Did you notice what God's people do? It almost sounds the same with one little detail difference. They give God, you and I, God's people, give God glory and honor. But did you notice the next word? Power. That is significant. That's not a typo. It's not a mistake. You see, they've laid their crowns before God. Any power or authority, if we are truly one of God's people, if we are truly following Jesus, we give Him power over our lives. You see, the ultimate form of worship is obedience to God. Because when we say, "I will do what you say, I will follow you, I will let you lead my life, I will let you shape my life," there is no other way, no better way, that we can give God glory and honor than when we lay our crowns and as we fall before Him. Now, remember how I started this story? The context? The context was what John was experiencing, that the Romans had power over him. In a world that was chaotic, where he was in prison because of his faith, he felt powerless. But he's reminded in this vision, just like you and I are reminded, that we give our power not to anything on this earth, not to any political entity. We ultimately give our power, the authority in our lives, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is incredible worship. And that's what we're invited to. What we see in the passages that we just looked at, John 4 and here in Revelation 4, are models for us of how we are to give worship. You all know that can you advance my slide, please? You all know that we end our messages with a "so what." And so what is how we apply this. So summarize for us. How do we give worship?
By giving all of ourselves to it. And I know that's easier said than done. But it's one of the things, this is so required. God wants our full and utmost attention. And that means any time that we gather together, that means any time that you are with God on your own, in prayer, that we submit ourselves to Him and His authority and really let Him know how much we love Him by doing so. Complete and total submission. And that's hard for us as Americans to do, isn't it? It's hard. But so worth it. So worth it. When you come here on any given Sunday morning, Saturday night like this, and we're singing songs, that's just one part of it. But if you come with the right heart attitude, you come with the expectation, hear me, if you come with the expectation knowing that God is going to show up in a huge way, he will. Y'all feel me?
We said in this series, Live to Give, that the foundation verse was what Jesus said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And there is no greater blessing than to consistently, with a sincere heart, with an authentic faith, give worship to God. To communicate to him with our words, with our attitudes, with our thoughts, with our very lives, that he is worthy, period. And we give him honor and glory and thanks and power. And we're invited to worship him fully. You know, we're coming into the holiday season, and particularly Christmas season, and that's one of the things that we're asking all of us to do in this Christmas season. Is I put it out starting last week. I said I want all of us to participate in the Christmas challenge. And the first part of the Christmas challenge, I'm not going to talk about the second two parts again. I'm just going to talk about the first part. The first part is to worship fully. That we would really put a significant effort to keeping Christ the very center of our worship. This Christmas. It's not about buying the stuff. It's not about, you know, the gifts given or received. It's all about Jesus. God, who saw our situation, who took flesh and came into this world that he might show us how to live, that he might sacrifice his very own life, that we might have life now to the full and life forever. With him. That's incredible. And I just want to challenge all of us to really make some effort to worship fully, to really give honor and glory and thanks and power to Jesus in this Christmas season. Now, one of the ways that we do that is by making sure there's room in our lives to worship. You see, if we go into this Christmas season just hectic, you know, and it's shopping and buying and wrapping and parties and you know how it goes, you know, you just get exhausted through Christmas or you're feeling all these expectations, you know, we have these high expectations that it's going to be this wonderful holiday and then doesn't work out because people are people and family is family and, you know, they're not happy with the gift you get and they're complaining about whose house you're going to go to and what you're going to eat and you get distracted by all this stuff and then all of a sudden Christmas is over and you go, what was that all about? Why do we do this? We do this to keep Jesus in the center of our attention and give him glory and honor for who he is and what he's done. Now, there's another way that we can do this. There's a practical way. Some of you may have heard about this called Advent. It's an ancient practice. And if you're not familiar with Advent, here's basically what it is, that it begins next week for the four weeks before Christmas and then of course Christmas Day. And what we do is that once in each of those week, we take some time to remember what Christmas is all about. We take time that leads us up to that. And what's often done in Advent is there's a Christmas wreath. It's called an Advent wreath, actually. And there's five candles. The four outside candles represent each of the weeks leading up to Christmas. And then the candle in the center represents Christ. And we've prepared a whole tool for you to be able to actually practice Advent on your own. You can do it by yourself. You could do it with your family. Guys that are here, if you're a father, I want to encourage you, or a husband, I want to encourage you to lead your family in Advent this year. And I'll explain what that is in a little bit. Or you can do it as a life group. You can do it as a family. You can do it however you want. And what you do is that each week, you take a time, you light one of the candles, and it's all described for you, and I'll show you where to find that. And what you do is you read a scripture that helps you prepare your heart and your mind for the coming of Christmas. That's what Advent means, by the way. Coming. Christmas is coming. Christ is coming. And in each week, you do that. I've even given you some hymns if you're a family or a person that likes to sing some carols. There's some appropriate carols for that. And then, of course, on Christmas Day, you light the last candle representing Christ. And so if you go to our website, pccwired.org, right in the middle of our homepage, you'll see just like here that says the Christmas Challenge. Click that. And on the right-hand side, you'll see it says Advent, worship fully. Click that. It tells you exactly all the instructions of how to do Advent and how to keep Christ in Christmas. So I want to encourage you. That's one tool. That's one way. You might not like that. You may want to find another way to do it. That's fine. But find a way where you don't let the Christmas holiday overcome the real reason for the season. Carl?
You know, we're going to come to our time of communion and offering, and I want us to take some time to reflect on what we've heard. And I want to read you the New Living Translation of Matthew 15:8. This came to mind when I was thinking about this, and it reads like this. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. That's pretty intense. And I read that and I think to myself, we need to do a heart check every time we come before Him. Every time that we worship our Father, may we never give lip service or present this thing that we do as a farce. I just want to encourage you in that. And as the ushers prepare for communion, those of you that are followers of Jesus, it's very simple. Just take the cup and the wafer and pass the tray along. And we're going to continue with more music. Y'all catch that? And my hope is that with what you've heard, it will bring you to a place of submission in true worship of the Father. Dear Lord, thank you for this time as we prepare for communion and offering, as we look upon these as continuations of worship of you. We love you, Lord, so much, and we thank you all the time for the things that you do. And Lord, we thank you for the things that we don't even know you're going to do. Because you are God, and so worthy to be praised. We love you, Lord.